Well, raise your Bible, repeat after me and say these words. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Amen. And we're looking at Hebrews. Let us read together. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of the things not yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Continue to read. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Noah is what we are looking at briefly, and we're going to talk for a subject. Amen. We talk about a spiritual hero. Can we say that together? One more time. How to be a hero. How to be a hero. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. You may be seated. How to be a hero. Too often we want what we are not willing to give. Amen. Amen. Too often we want what we are not willing to give. Amen. We know that we need spiritual help. We know that we need spiritual hope. We know that we need a spiritual hero. Amen. Name of our sermon is for us to see if we are willing to be the change we want to see in the world. Amen. For us to see if we are willing to be the change that we want to see in the world. Because we all know that, amen, someone has said we need a revival, but Lord, send a revival, but let it begin in me. So that morning we want to see if we are ourselves willing to be the change that the world needs to have. If so, then it needs to start with his church. That's where it starts. Amen. And the Bible makes it plain to us that God wants to bless us. God wants to deliver us. Because we live in a world where people are drowning. Amen. People who are drowning needs a spiritual hero. You need a hero if you're drowning. Amen. You need a hero if you're dying. Amen. You need somebody to come and help you. Amen. We need a hero if we are depraved. Amen. If the society is depraved, we need a hero. Amen. And that's what we are focusing on here this morning, is the hero that we need. God wants to make us out of heroes. Amen. And when I think about that, I think about the fact that God loves us so much, but it's up to us to take a stand. Amen. If we're going to do something for the Lord, we must be a spiritual sample, and we must save somebody. That's what God is calling us to do. Amen. He needs it, and he wants it from us if we are going to help this world. And we must understand that this world, the condition of this world, was of such that the Bible says that by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen yet, he was moved with fear and prepared the ark to the saving of his house. By the which he condemned the world. That means that his actions and his faith condemned their unbelief. The fact that Noah acted like he did when he was doing what was right, when they were doing that which was wrong, amen, he was condemning the world because his act of faith condemned their unbelief and the unbelief of the rest of the world. What he did was an act of faith. Amen. And he became an heir. That means simply that he won. He won in the eyesight of God the righteousness which is by faith. He attained the righteousness which is by faith. And that's what we must understand here this morning. The world is in a depraved condition, and God needed to send a Savior, a deliverer. And he told the woman, he says that he told Eve that the judgment upon the serpent was that he is going to bruise your head, but you're going to bruise his heel. The first prophecy that's given in the scriptures was given to in Genesis 3:15. That was the first prophecy. God was saying, Satan, since you have done this, you need to know that the seed of the woman and your seed are going to be in a battle, Genesis 3:15. There's going to be a battle. There's going to be a fight between the two seeds. And her seed is going to bruise your head. But Satan, your seed is going to bruise his heel. You're going to trip Jesus up. You're going to trip things up and slow things up, but he's going to give you the death blow and knock you completely out. The first prophecy, God put it in Genesis 3:15. It's called the seed plot. And since God said that, there has been a battle between the seeds, the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. The evil and good are at work in the world today. And Satan is trying to overcome righteousness. And the holy, godly people are trying to overcome evil. And it's just a fight going on in the world right now. It's a fight. It's a fight between the good and the bad. Satan and that which is holy. It's a fight. And the Bible makes it plain. The woman decided that she would just wait then now for God's deliverance. I'm waiting on it. I'm waiting on the deliverance. I'm waiting on God to deliver us. And when Eve had her first child, she thought, many Bible commentators thought she believed that this was the one. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, Adam had intercourse and copulated with Eve, his wife, and she had a child, and she had Cain. And when she had Cain, she said, there he is right there. This is the one that's going to give Satan a death blow to the head. I have gotten a man from the Lord. He's already here. But how many of y'all know we studied Cain? Cain was not the one, was he? Cain was anything but righteous. Cain was a bandito. Cain was not good at all. Because Cain, we have the first murder. Amen. The first murder was between a man killing his own brother. So he killed Abel. And that was the... What are they waiting on? They were waiting for the Messiah, the seed of the woman. They were waiting on Jesus. We know he came down through 42 generations. And ever since God told the devil that there's a seed, there's an offspring, there's a person coming who is going to bring deliverance. You brought condemnation, but I got somebody coming that's going to bring deliverance from sin. You got them to sin, and sin is in the nature now, but I've got somebody else coming. So Eve thought she had gotten a man from the Lord. Now we find out that Lamech was a man who was Noah. He at the age of 182 years, we find out that he begat or had a son. Amen. He gave birth to a son, and he called his name Noah. And this is in Genesis chapter 5, verse 29, another chapter, one chapter, the next chapter, saying, and you know what he said? He said, this same shall comfort us concerning the work and the toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord had cursed. He says, this little baby Noah, they had a baby, they called him Noah, Lamech did, when he was 182. He's a little Noah. And what is Noah gonna do, you think? Well, God had cursed the earth because of sin. And he said, it used to be simple for you to get food from the ground, but not anymore. And no longer will it be easy to cultivate, and you just and just a mist from the water bring forth vegetation out of it. Now you're gonna have to pull out weeds. Now the earth is cursed. The earth is cursed. The earth is under a curse because of Adam's sin. No longer would you be able to get food from the earth. Some people believe that the earth was destroyed because there was too many people and not enough food, because they couldn't get no food out of the ground. It was hard to get something to eat from the curse of Adam. So God had to destroy the people because there was too many people and not enough food. And that's why we won't get too far, and we're dealing with next week as we go through Genesis, God can say, okay, since there's a shortage of food, you not only can eat vegetables, you can eat meat now. So you find them no longer being vegetarians, but they can become carnivorous. And they can have those carne asadas now, because we're going to allow you to eat animals. Amen. We're going to eat. Anybody had one? Amen. Got a hand in the back. Amen. Oh, that gravy and onion on it, that carne asada. Amen. Carne means meat in Latin, and that's what. And so what happened is, but that's a whole nother subject. We're going to get to that. But what we want to understand is, he said, Noah is going to reverse the curse on the ground so we can get something to eat. So too many people and not enough food. That's a belief of some. I'm not saying that that's what it is. The ultimate reason is a multiplicity of reasons. They had become so wicked. They became so totally depraved. But Noah thought that he was going to reverse that curse that was put on Adam. In Genesis, when you read Genesis, but we find out that this was the wickedness, there seemed to be demagogues and seemed like spirit beings giving offsprings to humans or copulating with human beings, and all kind of things were going on. But I believe ultimately what it was is that there was demonology taking place within the seeds and in the people, to the point to where Satan was trying to prevent Jesus from getting here. That's a whole nother, I should have just made a sermon out of that. But the truth is that Satan, in an effort to try to prevent the Messiah, Jesus, from coming, knowing that God has said it's going to be the seed of the woman that's going to knock you out, devil. He's going to give you the knockout blow. I'd rather be hit in the foot than be hit in the head. Because when you can replace that, but you can't replace your head. When you miss your head, you're dead. And he said that that's what's going to happen is Jesus is going to knock you out. And ever since he knew that, he's been trying to stop the Messiah from coming. And so Eve thought, well, I got the Savior. But but they had become so wicked until the whole earth had to be destroyed. They were depraved. Amen. Man was messed up. And he was not able to be all that God wanted him to be. But the Bible says Noah found faith. Amen. Noah found faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen. Amen. By faith, Noah warned of God. Amen. God has spoken, and Noah had faith in what God said. What do you got to be this morning? Number one, you got to take a spiritual stand. We got to stand up. We got to make a spiritual stand if you're going to be a spiritual hero. Amen. Because the world is in bad shape. And the only way you are going to help save the world is to believe what God said. What did God say? God said that the world, it won't be water but fire next time. And so you've got to believe what God said. If I believe what God said, then I'm going to do what Noah did. I'm going to do all that I can to help the world. There's got to be a crisis situation. Noah had a crisis situation. The world was filled with violence and filled with wickedness. And all these things were going on. But the Bible tells us that by faith, Noah was warned of God of things that he did not even see. He was moved with reverential, respectful fear, and he went ahead and prepared that ark. Amen. Noah kept building on the ark. Amen. Although people want to deny that God even wanted people on the ark. That's a whole nother subject. But the truth of the matter is that Noah kept on building the ark. Why did he do it? Because he was a man of faith. And you won't try to get nobody else saved unless you have faith. If I told you that one day everybody's going to be burned up that don't believe in Jesus, if you really believed it, would you let people you love go straight to hell? What's going to make you a move? You see, he was moved with fear. I mean, he said, oh, man, it impacted him. Are you scared that somebody's going to hell? It scared him. Noah, God warned Noah, and it scared him. He believed it. He was so scared until he acted on it. He says, I'm scared because I believe it. You're not scared of nothing you don't believe. So do you believe? Are you afraid? Are you afraid that there are going to be some people who are going to burn? Does that bother you? Does that scare you? If it'll scare you if you have faith in it. If you believe what he said, it will scare you. You'll say, I better do something. Why? Because I believe. Noah was scared. They had that movie on a long time ago called Scared Straight. And they kind of gave him a sample of what they were. But do you believe? Noah was so scared that he did something about it. But Noah had to stand alone because nobody else believed it. You see, you got to watch the majority. Because the majority is not always right. Most people think it was a majority, then it's probably right. Not so. The majority is not always right. And so Noah was a minority. He was not a majority. But what did he do? He stood alone. Will you stand alone? Are you scared alone to the point to where you know that this is going to happen and you're going to do all that you can to make sure that nobody burns? Are you doing anything about it? Then you must not have faith. If you really believe it's going to happen, it ought to move you. So you may not believe. Because if you believed it, I'm not going to let nothing happen to my kids. I'm not going to let nothing happen to my folk I love. I'm not going to let nothing happen to people. I'm scared and I'm motivated and I'm moved and I want to do something about it. They're dying. They're sin sick. They're drowning. And they need somebody to save them. They need a spiritual lifeguard when they're drowning in a world of wickedness. They need somebody who would dive in and say, I'll save you. I care. I don't want this to happen to you. And God is looking for somebody to be like Noah. Noah kept on building on the ark. Oh, I forgot to tell you. If you're going to do what the Lord told you to do, you got to be willing to look like a fool. I didn't tell you. You got to be willing to look like a fool because, you see, he's out there and he's in a minority and everybody looking at him. And he's building on his ship. Some doubt what it would take him 120 years. But folks try to always just tear the Bible apart. He gave him a probation. You got 120 years to get your act together. And don't nobody believe him, but Noah. Don't y'all believe Noah. Nobody in town believed Noah. Nobody believed him. This bald head preacher just up there knelling. Every day we hear him ringing. He's building like, what is he doing? It's never rained before. What are you talking about? It's going to rain. It's never rained that before. If it does rain, it's going to be the first rain. Because God ain't never made it rain. But Noah believed God. He ignored everybody else. And he looked like a plumb fool out there beating on a ship when it never rained before. Oh, but Noah was right. Wasn't Noah right? Noah was right. He was in the minority, but Noah was right. And sure enough, they were eating one night, and you ever heard the rain kind of hit on the vent, and you said, I think it's raining. I think it's raining. Huh? Yeah. And the rain started coming down. And the man that was right was beginning to be respected now. But Noah was somebody in the face of all of those who were around him decided, let me get on out of here, that I'm going to believe God even if I got to look like a fool. Even if they laugh at me, I'm going to believe God. But pretty soon, they're going to see that I'm right. See, that's the thing about the truth. It you may not believe in it, but it holds its weight. It carries its weight. The truth will outrun a lie. Folk can lie on you, and they can talk about you for years. It may take truth a long time, but if they watch it long enough, they're going to find out that truth is going to surface to the top. Truth always comes to the top. Amen. It's like cream. Truth, it don't look like it's right at first, but truth will always prevail. But you got to be a sample. There's the next thing. I don't know if I put that up there, but you got to be a sample. You got to be a spiritual sample. Amen. You go in the store and they give you these samples because they know that if they give you some of it, before it's over, before you go through the checkout counter, you're going to go by there and you possibly going to get you one of them. Amen. You're going to buy one. Because they let you taste it. They knew that it was worth you getting a bite of it.